Morning. The Old Testament reading today is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4a. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The word of God for the people of God. The psalm reading this morning is 121. It's page 844 in your hymnal. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot be moved. The Lord who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, the one who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from evil and will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 and verses 13 through 17. It can be found on page 144 in your Pew Bible in the New Testament or on page 187 in the large print edition. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The word of God for the people of God.
I think this is the first time in recorded history that all three members of our family have been up in the pulpit. I pray that it won't be the last. Let's turn now to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, not chapter 48, but rather John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, on page 88 in the Pew Bible of the New Testament. In the large print edition, it's in the New Testament on page 114. This is the story that's depicted on the image on the bulletin cover. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There is a succinct description on the website of the General Board of Discipleship that I was reading this week, and I want to share it with you. Today is the second Sunday in Lent. Today we begin a series of readings in John's Gospel that point to the many ways we need God's saving help and the calling to become more than we can make ourselves. Today it is Nicodemus and the call to be born again. Next week, we encounter the woman at the well and the call to drink and share living water. Then it is the blind man and the call to be healed of blindness. Finally, it is Lazarus and a call to come forth from death. We can do none of these things in our own power, but we can prepare our lives to make room for the Spirit to do them in and through us. This is the primary reason for the church's intensified Lenten disciplines of prayer, searching the scriptures, fasting, and self-denial, to prepare baptismal candidates to be born again by water and the Spirit in their baptism, and to renew the power and vibrancy of the new birth in those of us who walk with them on their journey. Today's readings remind us in important ways of the power of the Holy Spirit to work in and through us when we use the means of grace, prayer, Bible study, fasting, self-denial, as well as the corporate means of worship, Christian conferencing, and small group Bible study and accountability. Today we understand that God calls us to start fresh, to start over, to begin again, to be born again. Now that descriptor, a born-again Christian, may well bring to your mind an image of a sudden and immediate change of heart, a bolt of lightning, a complete reversal in someone's life, a once-in-a-lifetime, never-again, fixed-forever kind of about-face. Well, I don't think that it really works that way. So let's take a bit of a closer look at Scripture. In the Genesis reading that Jane read, we get just a glimpse into the long story of Abram, who would later be named Abraham by God. Abram was a mature, well-established guy when God commanded that he pick up and move lock, stock, and barrel away from his home, away from his roots, his business, his place in society, to an unknown and unknowable future. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Well, it is in fact a complete understatement to say that Abram and Sarai started over from scratch. But it is a complete overstatement to say that Abraham and Sarah never looked back, never sinned against God, never went against or second-guessed the covenant that God had made with them. Abraham and Sarah started over indeed, and they changed, but as it was with fits and starts and lots of sinning in between. If you want to understand what I'm talking about, I offer you the opportunity to keep reading in Genesis about Abraham and Sarah. Paul's letter to the Roman church brings us a completely new understanding of God's offer of justification and salvation. At least it was new at the time. It is now a pillar of Protestant thought, but it wasn't always that way. Paul is saying that we are justified by faith and not by works. Paul holds up the example of Abraham's faith that was reckoned to him as righteousness. Abraham was reckoned righteous because he trusted God enough to keep going where God led him, even though that meant a long journey for him and his family to start over in an unknown land far away. It is not about following God's laws. It is not about our actions. It is not about what we might try to do to earn God's love. It is not about believing the right doctrine. It is about having true faith in God and believing in the power of Christ. This kind of thinking, that we are justified by faith and not by works, is the result of a rebirth into the real body of Christ. I want you to think about the life of Saul and his transformation into Paul. He had a dramatic, once-in-a-lifetime, knock-your-socks-off conversion on the road to Damascus. But by his own admission, he certainly had temptations and times of sin as he tried to follow the lead of Jesus Christ. And then we come to the gospel lesson from John. The story of Nicodemus coming to talk with Jesus under the cover of darkness. Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews, a Pharisee. So he was concerned about what people would say if they saw him speaking openly to this revolutionary teacher from Nazareth. And Nicodemus is rightly confused by Jesus' talk of being born from above. Nicodemus doesn't understand this concept of being born again. Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." When Jesus speaks of being born of water and spirit, he is likely referring both to the biological process of birth as well as to the anointing by the Holy Spirit. He's also making reference to the sacrament of baptism. Jesus uses cryptic and poetic language to get Nicodemus and us to think about this complete spiritual rebirth. You know, we know about Nicodemus from only two other references in John's gospel and nowhere else in the Bible. Once in chapter 7, Nicodemus defends Jesus and speaks up for his legal rights. Most notably, though, the second reference after this one occurs after the crucifixion, when I believe that Nicodemus shows his true colors as a follower of Christ. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came with Joseph of Arimathea, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. At first, Nicodemus was confused by Jesus' talk of being born from above, of being born of water and spirit, and he retreated to his training as a Pharisee. But over time, and much thought and prayer about what Jesus said and did, Nicodemus came to the understanding that Jesus was himself the true Messiah. Ultimately, Nicodemus was indeed reborn in Christ. My brothers and sisters, on this second Sunday in Lent, we continue to seek and to feel the power of the Holy Spirit at work in and through us as we make full use of the means of grace. Indeed, just like Abraham and Sarah, just like Paul, and just like Nicodemus, God calls each of us to start fresh, to start over, to begin again, to be born again of water and spirit. Now, some lucky few have the dramatic conversion experience that can be traced to a specific time and place. But for most of us, it is more like an evolution, a gradual shift in perspective and experience. And maybe you can look back to the person you used to be before you were transformed by Christ. When you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and in your life, you will indeed be born of the Spirit. Rest assured, though, you will be tempted and you will sin. Such is the result of fallen human nature. And God will love you through it all. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Born of the Spirit, indeed. Amen.